Good morning and welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Boy, are we not inundated with it today. If you, like me, take in some media, some news media, and of course only the alternative news media is worth anything, or if you're on any kind of social media, I know you're hearing it like I am, and it's truly mind-blowing. Now, maybe being younger with kids actually still in the system, you have it had it hit you in the face a little faster than I have, being in the grandparent generation, but it's just inundating, the perversity, it's just mind-blowing. Do you realize that when I was a child, on television, married couples slept in single beds? So Lucy, on I Love Lucy, and her husband were in two separate beds. Think about the difference. And now some people think it is their right to have drag queen story time for children. Why is this? Why is this? Why has there been a change? Everybody's talking right now about the movie Sound of Freedom that depicts Tim Ballard, who first as a law enforcement officer and then privately has been rescuing children from sex trafficking. And Caviezel, who played in that movie, and last night, as of this recording, President Trump had a screening in Bedminster, and it's just astounded Hollywood that this film has completely overwhelmed in terms of box office receipts, even in the first weekend, the Indiana Jones. What you may not realize is that this independent film was suppressed for 5 years. Hollywood didn't want this out. And when it came out as an independent film, selected theaters one night, but no, box office, runaway success, and continuing to play and being really the talk of the town, the talk of everything. And at this point, after a couple of weeks, it looks like the left is not happy. Now, just think, it turns out, I'm getting reports that in AMC theaters, that the theater that's playing this, the air conditioner goes out. The lights don't go off. Sometimes it gets evacuated. The last report that I saw was that it was said that it was sold out, but the theater was empty. How is that possible? I mean, how unlikely would that be? It goes against profit motive. Is something even greater than profit motive? You know, why would you out yourself? Why would we're all agreed. Democrats, Republican, left, right, old, young, gay, straight, that depredation of children is not okay. So why would you come out publicly with such shenanigans? What is even going on? I mean, why would you have porn in schools? Porn that would be illegal to sell to a minor being curricula in school. Why would that happen? And not just in one place, but in most places, even in very conservative districts. Why? Why would public libraries be all of a sudden ruled by a far leftist porn-promoting librarian? I heard about one small town in Tennessee where somebody ran for either mayor or representative, state representative. But anyway, he ran on that platform. because in their little, and Tennessee is a Republican, almost all Republican except for Memphis. This was a conservative town, and yet there was porn in the library, in the children's library. And so somebody ran on that platform, got elected handily. The librarian left immediately. Anyway, why? But we have stories about this all over. Why? I suggest you think about that. And then why did we have such dramatic swings in border policies? So, of course, you know I live in Texas, and you know that we have always had illegal immigrants in Texas in terms of workforce and so forth. But then we had somehow somebody in Central America told people to come. They even told them to send their children. And that was during the Obama administration. And we had such an influx that they built some holding facilities because there were so many children. And then we had a very different policy with President Trump, and even to the extent of building borders. But I do remember he said when he came in, he came into the presidency, he specifically told the INS not to break up families. But that's not what you heard in the news. And you heard about cages in the news as if he had built them, and that wasn't true. They had been built in the previous administration. And it was his policy, and also Governor Abbott said it was his policy to reduce child trafficking. And I believe it was reduced, although I, of course, have no direct knowledge. But anyway, and we know for sure that we had less illegal immigration, and we had the wall built, or portions thereof. So under the last Bush, we had a mile or two, is my understanding. And we had nearly all of the wall, all of the border in Texas built. And I wasn't even for sure if it was being built. You know, it was kind of being talked about. But I sat in an airport next to a young military man who said he was building it. He was guarding it being built in El Paso area or whatever. Oh, we were in some airport. Anyway, so I knew it was being built because, like most things, I don't believe things unless I have a good personal eyewitness account. So, because, you know, for a decade or more, I've known that the news media has been corrupt. So, I believe it if I know it, if I know somebody who I trust who tells me that they've seen it. So, there was no reason for him to lie in an airport about what he had been doing, and now he was going home. Okay, so, and now we have another administration, the Biden administration. And again, we're having lots of immigration. We have lots of children. Now, why would somebody in Honduras send their child? They have to, somebody has to be telling them stuff, because they wouldn't send a child. And we hear people, I've seen somebody on electronic media saying she worked at the border and she was responsible for giving children away to non-vetted adults that they once had been vetted and now they're not. And then I heard a second person saying this was the policy. Children will come with a number and the government agent employee has to give them, and there's no vetting that they're family or anything. That why would there be such a policy? Why would there be such a concerted effort to get kids over the border unaccompanied over now years by policy? I mean, the darkest conspiratorial theory is that they needed a replenishment of kids after the Trump diminution of supply. That's just so scary. You know, I have somebody who will say these things. It just takes my breath away. I can hardly breathe even to think such a thing. It scares me to think of such a thing. Lord, help us. Now, there is a spiritual teacher, pastor, prophet, who says this is exposure for cleansing. That a rude awakening has to precede a great awakening. The pain is for the awakening, and the awakening is for the children. And I hope and pray that this is true. But what I want to tell you is I am urging you to put some thought, and here is my thought. Not the why, but the how. How is it that there is even a market for child sex trafficking? How could that be? How could that be? And I think back to the introductory sociology classes that I taught. You know, of course, in intro soci, there's a chapter of sex, gender, and family. And for a few years there, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, maybe, and certainly not after 12. Certainly not after 14. Anyway, some of those years, you know, because after the lecture, then we would have some sort of discussion or activity. So a few years, we talked about porn. And I discovered that if we had a plenary session, then the men would overtake it and the women wouldn't say anything. So for some years, then I would break that up and the women would have their discussion, the men would have their discussion. What I discovered, that the men felt like that male consumption of porn was 100%, and more likely was 100% less very dedicated religious men. So what would that be? You know, I don't know exactly, but not every man consumed porn unless he was a Christian, but except for very dedicated conservative men of whatever stripe, you know, because even if they were a Buddhist monk or a Hasidic Jew, or you know, I don't know what jihadists do, but anyway, whatever religion, there is some group that's very dedicated. So a very religious Christian man, very religious any kind of man, and everybody else consumed porn. I was a little surprised at that. But that's what my students were telling me pretty consistently. And the women were much less interested and did say, yes, well, some women will do it particularly with their husbands. Okay, but if I broke the men and the women up, the women would express that they were much less interested in this. And of course, being an intro college student, an intro class, I would say the married women would have been in the minority as opposed to unmarried women. Okay, so, and if that was 10 years ago, I'm thinking that this widespread consumption of porn has addicted people and change their brains to the extent that they now want to enact what they see. So, you remember, we used to have arguments about the violence on television. And does violence on television cause a more violent population? And that was a long-standing argument. And gosh, it was 20 years ago that was a long-standing argument. And I believe what the scientists have discovered is, yes, for children, seeing violence, even the Punch and Judy, would create more violence. So if a child watched a Punch and Judy, which is a puppet show, right? And Punch always hits Judy, I think. Anyway, yes, children were likely to hit. However, for adults, if they continue to watch highly violent shows like chase scenes and bombings and blah, 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 that makes adults more frightened and more passive. Okay. So the whole idea of seeing creates different behavior in the real world, I think that is well established. And if we're getting porn that's becoming an addiction, which I think is irrefragable, I've seen pictures now of This Is Your Brain on porn, and I'll post that in the post on the website. If it is damaging the brain to that extent, then we are getting damaged behavior. And of course, that would be why Satan would like all of these horrible religions that were mentioned in the Bible, you know, the Molech and the Baal, they all had sexual components. And why would that be so bad? Because not only does it degrade the family and make the weak ones in society less safe, but it enslaves the more strong ones. And I think that's what we've got. We've got a situation where we've got mass enslavement. And the worst kind of slavery is making one class of those slaves hurt another. I think that's what we've got. Anyway, that's just my 2 and 2, not being at all involved or having any particular special knowledge. But the question then is how to get out of such a thing, and of course, repentance and healing by the power of God. But a more important conversation for parents, for moms, is prevention. How do you prevent this? Don't let this happen to your boys or to your girls. And it happens in the best of families. There is a very well-known pastor who, he's very much on television, etc. And it turns out that his daughter, now, they take good care of their children. His son had a bout with drugs, is now clean and in the ministry, but snatched from death's door, and his daughter ended up seeing porn on her phone in her bedroom. She's very well taken care of. But anyway, she repented and, you know, before her father ever knew, and also serves in the ministry. So it happens. But how to prevent it? Well, I have 2 things to say about that. One is, my son-in-law tells my grandsons, don't let me catch you doing that or I'll kick your butt. No, really, really, pay attention to that. Strong men giving good example and fathers giving some enforcement. That matters a whole lot. And my son-in-law listens to a theme station. He'll be driving around in his truck and he'll be listening to country music, and the song will be, I can't wait to get home to my honey, and boy, when I get off, I'm going to spend my time with my family and we're going to do family stuff. And it's one song like that after another, which is something I appreciate. Okay. And he tells his boys. Now, I assume my daughter also puts controls, electronic controls for the children. But at a certain point, children grow up and they're going to have their own phones, but they still have a father who's going to say, I'll kick your butt. And it would too. So I'm not suggesting violence. What I'm suggesting is the men take care of it. The good men pass that on, both an example and guardrails, and even consequences to their sons. Okay, so that's one. And two is for moms. We had Danny Johnson on here. Danny Johnson, a marketing guru. And she was on, she came to the radio station in 2009. And it has been one of our highest hits. 2009, we had not had this conversation, but she knew the marketers were sitting around in boardrooms planning how to get kids addicted because they had maxed out the men's market for porn. And so this, we had this sluice gate of sewage, mental sewage coming in for the adults already in 2009. Of course, I wouldn't have had any way of knowing, but she, because she was a marketer, knew. And she, because she's a mother of five, was going to address this. And so I think her model is the best I can give you. And she has what I would call verbatims. She would call scripts. So she has a book called Grooming the Next Generation for Success. I didn't even understand about the double entendre at that time about grooming. But anyway, Grooming the Next Generation for Success. And she talks in that book about how she talks to her sons before they go to the mall. So what are you going to do when we pass Victoria's Secret? Okay, when they stand in line at the grocery store to have their groceries checked, what are you going to do when we pass by Cosmopolitan? Okay, so she teaches her sons directly, and her daughters too. So I'm going to urge you to hear that episode and to get her book. I'll put the link in the show notes, and it will be on the post at the website, greatshalom.org. I see I have used up my time more than, all right? So it's great like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M. Great like big, shalom like total well-being. Because God wants total well-being for all children. Isaiah 54:13, all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching. 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
30. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And this podcast is found wherever you find podcasts. If you're not finding it, let me know. Okay, and please share it. Thank you very much. Practical ideas about the things that you want to do as a mother or as an educator are going to be pretty prosaic. I remember even when my child, who is now well over 40, when she was a baby, even then there were postings in the little town I lived in that children were being kidnapped, even out of mother's arms. And so I was very careful, even back then in the early 80s, to keep close eye on my baby, on my little girl. When we were in public, she was in my arms or holding my hand. And when I first got my grandson, you understand, my grandson lived in my house for a few months. One of the first things I did was to be sure he knew his phone number and how to find me again if he were lost. Who to trust, who to talk to, you know, like you could talk to a police officer and say you're lost and so forth. Don't go off with strangers. All of these things are very prosaic. I remember when I was young enough to be playing in the street with a bunch of kids, and I saw somebody sitting in a car watching us, and I told all the children not to go across the street and not to talk to this person, and reported it to my parents. I was surprised that my parents took it as seriously as they did. But there was a group of children who were playing in that location all of the time, almost all of the time, and I was one of the older ones. And so I did notice this guy. Today, I think more people would have taken that seriously, but I at least had enough sense wherever I was, I'm 10, 12, whatever, to notice that this was out of the ordinary and to warn the children not to be involved. And even in my neighborhood, which was a good neighborhood, the neighborhood I grew up in, we all had to be in at dark. Everyone had to be in at dark. And one of the things I noticed when I moved to this neighborhood, when I moved out of a more central metro area into the suburb where I live now, I noticed that children were out after dark, or young people were out after dark, and that just never happened in a more central location, even though it was single family homes like a suburb. It wasn't really urban core, but nevertheless, people in the metro area were in, everybody was in at dark, and now in the suburbs, well, I say now, that was 15, 20 years ago. But so have rules for your children. All these rules are for children's safety. Yes. And it's always helpful to have a community so that I notice that people are, they're making a very small community, like only their parents and their grandparents can pick up a child. Well, that works fine if your parents are there in the same metro area, but I think it would be a good idea to have some people you trust and run with. If you don't have a large enough family, you don't have your siblings and cousins all around, then, you know, church can substitute for that kind of family and somebody, you know. So that was the case in my rearing. We lived in a metro area and we didn't have anybody who was related to us who could drive within 15 minutes. So my best friend's mother was on the school notes as she could pick me up, and once she did. Right? My mother wasn't available for some reason. I was sick, and so it was Mrs. Hawes who came and picked me up and delivered me to my house, and everything was good because our family were friends. The parents knew each other, and she had the authority of the school to pick me up. So schools are already, well, early childhood centers are already well aware, and schools should be, but often my expectations have been disappointed. So teach your children. Teach them how to escape. You know, at a certain point you have to determine when, how to escape, how to make nice, you know, go through with them so that should it ever happen, it's not entirely scary. Now don't traumatize them. Yeah. And tell them nobody can touch their private parts. Because why? Because they're private. So even a small child, 5-year-old child, can understand it. And to tell you, be sure that you have a relationship with your child through that thick and thin. When things go awry, they can rely on you. And I just met somebody who has a whole book on that, so maybe I'll get an interview with her. Anyway, every episode I'm going to try to give you some practical advice, and this seemed, while not the funnest, maybe the most practical. And next time, All right, sometime I'm going to give you a fun advice that's going to be equally as practical. Okay? All right, stay cool, enjoy, stay safe, and do some thinking. The Lord bless you, may you and yours increase. And the blessing, the goodness, the righteousness, the joy, the peace, the prosperity of the Lord. Amen. Prosperity of the Lord. Amen.